T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Now, it's Chris Harrington on the Grizzlies, Memphis, and more on 92.9's Jeff Calkins Show, presented by Church Health, caring for people all around us. Give today at churchhealth.org.
Tony joins me now. Chris, what are we listening to?
That's Going Down the Road Feeling Bad, a traditional American folk song. They're done by the Memphis Adjacent blue-eyed soul duo Delaney's Body from their Casual live album Motel Shot. Sending that out to the Grizzlies. Now 0-3 on their season-long five-game road trip.
All right, get to the Grizzlies in a minute. You got a piece up, quick piece up at the Daily Memphian, because the Oscar nominations are out, and the Elvis movie, eight nominations?
Yeah. It did about as well as could be expected. It wasn't going to get like a Best Director. Now, I mean, people may have speculated on a Best Director or Best Supporting Actor. You know, Lord help us for Tom Hanks. Those things were not going to happen. But it got Best Picture, one of the 10 Best Picture nominations. It got Best Actor for Austin Butler, and then it got 6 other sort of, you know, craft and technical category nominations. So it was not the highest. It was, you know, there were three movies that got more nominations, but it was right after those three.
Austin Butler, people thought he did a magnificent job of portraying Elvis. Best Elvis besides Elvis? Are we going to agree with? Is there a better? Has there been?
I can't think of another good one. I mean Kurt Russell did it way right. Early on. The guys who were in the various short-lived TV shows were all just sort of okay. There's not much competition right there.
Okay, but he's not. Is he a favorite? Is it Colin Farrell a favorite? Brendan Fraser a favorite? Who's the favorite?
I've not studied the prognostications. Right. My just general sense of the world would be that it's among those three. The other two in the category are not going to win. And so it's among those three. The Whale didn't get a lot of other nominations. It's a movie people don't seem to actually like. But it's also a big gimmicky performance. So it's the kind of performance that tends to win these, but I sort of think it won't. And so I'm gonna predict Colin Farrell, but I'm not gonna be surprised if Austin Butler wins.
A couple other things from your story that intrigued me. One is All Quiet on the Western Front is a movie now. There's a new All Quiet. I somehow missed it. Is this true?
It's a Netflix thing. It's a German version, like the original. So that's a movie, that's a book that a lot of people maybe read in ninth grade or whatever. Right. But it was also one of the first classic movies was a 1920s version of, or maybe early 30s version of All Quiet on the Western Front, which has been, and that's not the only film adaptation, but that has been the film adaptation for decades upon decades now. And this is the first major one really since then. And it's a German production, unlike the other version, which was an American production. Of the German novel, and it has not shown in theaters for the most part in the U.S., but it's on Netflix, and so, you know,
have you seen it?
See it there. That's the only one of the 10 Best Picture nominations I have not seen, but now I will see it. I was very glad The Whale did not get a Best Picture nomination because I don't want to watch that, but I'll watch All Quiet on the Western Front now.
That is one, back in ninth grade when we read the book, or whatever grade it was, 10th grade, I did my All Quiet on the Western Front report, And I got a C or something. And the comment was, right, next time you should do more than watch the movie. I didn't even know it was a movie.
There's no way you knew what you knew it was a movie.
Wasn't there another movie though? I don't think she was referring to the 1920s movie.
I'm sure there are other adaptations, but they are not considered notable.
Was accused of just watching the movie. Yeah, it was depressing. Anyway, and then the other thing is right now you mentioned the other best picture contenders that are showing in Memphis at the moment: Avatar, The Way of Water, and The Fabelmans. That means you have seen both of these. We discussed Avatar at one point, how the first Avatar was supposed to be a path-breaking film, but as soon as you walked out of the theater, it disappeared from your mind and everybody's mind. It didn't really have much impact, but it's back. What did you think of Avatar, The Way of Water, and The Fabelmans? Should I go see them?
Yes, on The Fabelmans. You should go see The Fabelmans. Fabelmans is very good. It's like my third or fourth favorite movie of the year. I think it's quite good. It is not quite what people seem to think it is without having seen it. I guess because it's Spielberg and the movie poster is like, you know, the wonder of movies or whatever. It's really not. It's a lot thornier than that. I think it's quite interesting. And if you do see The Fabelmans, if anyone out there sees The Fabelmans or has seen The Fabelmans, I highly recommend watching the documentary about Steven Spielberg that's on HBO or HBO Max that really gets into like a lot of like the stuff that movie's about. And like you see like how like truly autobiographical the movie is. It's actually interesting to watch those together. But Avatar, I enjoyed it in the theaters and I did not, it has not left like a profound impression on me, but I actually think it stuck with me a little bit more than I thought it would, mostly because of like the outcast space whale, who's like the best actor in the movie, basically.
Is it 3D also? Like they give you the little glasses and all that? Again?
Yeah, it's 3D. It's the whole shebang. So yeah, definitely it's something to see in a theater. And like at this point, like I don't know exactly where all these movies are showing, but I know Banshees of Inisherin is on streaming on HBO, and like that and Tar to me are the two best movies of the year. So even easier to see Banshees of Inisherin on HBO probably than for most people than to go to the theater to see Fabelmans or Avatar.
All right, moving on to the Grizzlies. You said if a streak starts at 3, they are going to risk their first. This is before the game. They're going to miss their first losing streak. And they, sure enough, they did it. Is a streak begin at 3? You think a streak?
I think so. I don't think 2 constitutes a streak. So I don't know. I mean, opinions vary. That's by my definition at least.
Right. So I think
it's notable to say that the Grizzlies last night became the last of the 30 NBA teams to lose 3 games in a row this season. They were the only team that had not done that. So you know, as bad as you know the stretch has been, and there's some real stuff to talk about. You know, let's keep that in mind. Like they were literally the only team that had yet to lose 3 in a row.
Among the things there are to talk about is that you had asked Parker Fleming make this point, but you co-signed that you wanted to see Jaren and Brandon as the starters, and instead we got Xavier Tillman. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, that's not surprising. Just because I want to see something doesn't mean I think I'm going to see it, right?
That
has been the pattern of things, just to sort of keep their rotations in place. But I feel like it's sort of time to start ramping up to what you think might happen in the playoffs. And I think one thing they did do differently last night that to me was suggestive of that is they didn't play Kennedy Chandler, even though John Morant was out. They went to like those Desmond Bane-led lineups, which is what they'd done all last season. And I think the hit there is that if they find themselves without one of their two main point guards in the playoffs, that's probably what they're going to do. They're going to play Bane. And so I feel like come playoff time, you're going to lean more than likely into those Jaren Brandon lineup. So that's sort of what I would have done, but I'm not surprised they didn't do it.
Last year, of course, when they did that, they had other ball handlers, on the court, D'Anthony Melton and Slo-Mo, Kyle Anderson were on the court to help matters, but you think it can be equally effective? It was obviously effective last year.
I don't know. I don't know if it could be equally effective. I think it was important that you had Melton and or Anderson in those lineups too. And so Bane was sort of a lead, but not a traditional point guard. You could sort of share the ball handling a little bit. You know, with the Melton and Anderson stuff, and I wrote a column about this earlier in the year, sort of concluding one was not a mistake and one kind of was. But the thing about it is, like, you know, whenever the Grizzlies play well, if you're on social media and like, kudos to you if you're not in Dylan Brooks' voice. but if you're on social media, like when the Grizzlies play really well, you'll see a lot of people saying, y'all, whoever they is, right?
Right.
You know, they told you that the team was going to miss Melton and Anderson. Ha 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 ha.
Right.
And then, like when they hit a stretch, people say, wow, it would be nice to have Kyle Anderson and Deandre Melton out there. You know, to me, it's not complicated to say, like, they're really good without those guys, but they would be better with them, especially with Melton. And so, to me, that's not, like, mysterious.
Well, it is.
I mean, I've been saying since before the season even started that their wing depth is a problem.
Right.
And I think
we're seeing their wing depth is a problem.
Their wing depth is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To that point, by the way, of the things that are irritating about social media, I think that the most is the spread of pernicious false information. Let's be honest. Like, that's the most, that's the worst thing about social media, the anti-democratic, anti-truth, whatever. But another one that is bothersome to me, that irritates me probably more day to day, is 100% that. It's the reactions in the moment with total lack of context. And then if you happen to say something 3 weeks ago that was about something in the moment, that'll be thrown back at you. It's just, there's such absence of context in social media. It absolutely is infuriating, and is a reason to abandon it. Okay, the wing depth, though, continues to be an issue. John Conchar, in his last five games, and, you know, meaningful minutes, go ahead.
Oh, well, the minutes have been shrinking some, but it's not. I mean, to your point, it's not just that he's playing fewer minutes. It's a combination of playing poorly and playing fewer minutes, and those things are probably related to each other. It feels like, you know, I would say, and last night Roddy played instead of Chandler, and they mixed up their lineups.
Right.
I mean, I would say that Conchar's diminishment is opening the door for Roddy and or LaRavia. But I think what it really is the signal that, like, he's just keeping a seat warm from Danny Green. But I do think Conchar's on his way out, at least temporarily. You know, he's not been playing well. They've been playing him less. And I think when Danny Green is available to play, my guess is he's going to step into that Conchar spot.
Are we going to get a look at Danny Green before they have to make it, before the trade? Like, what's the sense of the timing on the Danny Green thing now?
I don't know. I mean, it's a mystery. They have not really suggested. Danny Green has suggested, but the Grizzlies have not suggested. Right. Danny Green has said he was going to play before the All-Star break. And Taylor Jenkins, I asked him that directly just a couple of weeks ago, and he very much declined to co-sign that. But Danny Green has apparently been playing 5-on-5 in practices, and he's certainly, you know, doing pregame shooting. And so presumably they have some kind of idea of him based on what they're seeing behind the scenes. So, I mean, we're all waiting to see him on the floor.
Right.
I mean, and you'll learn more on the floor against, like, other teams trying to stop you. That's obviously true. But it's not like the Grizzlies are starting from zero in this. They've had him all season behind the scenes, and they have some kind of feel for it based on that.
If not for the presence of Danny Green, you would be saying this is an urgent situation that they have to fix at the trade deadline. Is that not right?
Oh, I don't know if I would say urgent and have but I would certainly say, like, you know, this is a problem.
Priority.
And I would. This is something I would suggest addressing. I think this gets back to sort of what we were talking about yesterday about, like, when it, you know, the levels of pressure to win, right? And, like, I was looking at it today. So if you took a look at the top 10 teams in terms of winning percentage right now, I put the Grizzlies, and other people may not agree, especially Grizzlies fans, I'd put them middle to slightly below middle in terms of pressure to win right now. Like, I don't think, you know, on one hand, like, you're good. You don't know whether the league will be as open, and so this, you never know when your best shot's going to be. On the other hand, like, I don't think they're in the same position as, like, Denver or Philadelphia or Milwaukee or Brooklyn or lots of the other teams in the top 10 in winning percentage. And so, you know, I don't know. I doubt they do anything. But I think if their sole consideration was maximizing right now and without regard to the next 5 years after this, then yes, I would say you got to do something. But I think the balance of, like, trying to maximize now but also, you know, trying to maximize the entirety of your window, which includes right now, I think is a little bit more complicated thing to navigate.
I'm going to look at it right now. I'm calling up the standings. In terms of pressure to win right now, teams, I'm with you. I don't think there's much pressure to win right now. And if you go through it, the only teams
by win, we mean get to the finals, yes, win a title.
Win at the highest level, get to the finals and win a title. The only teams that I think have less that are elite teams that have less pressure to win now than the Grizzlies would be Cleveland in the East and Sacramento in the West. And that's it. Like, literally.
Yeah, and maybe New Orleans.
Maybe, but they're older at least. You know, they're.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. So I think literally, I mean, New Orleans in a sense that this season's a gift. And so they're maybe you'll be just happy being there, like Sacramento. That's how you sort of feel if you're Sacramento. Sacramento's also older, but it's such a gift this season that I think whatever happens in the playoffs will be gravy. There's very little pressure on the Grizzlies to win right now. And I agree with you. Like, it is interesting.
Well, I don't know if that's true. I think there should be very little pressure on them to win right now.
True.
I think there actually is a bit of pressure because they've been ahead of schedule and because of all the noise around them.
It is one of the phenomenon, though, of sports fandom is, I see it in one of the teams I follow is the Buffalo Sabres. And the Buffalo Sabres are unaccountably decent this year. They're incredibly young, and they're 3 points out of the wild card. And all you see on the message boards and social media is, I'm sick of losing. Time to accelerate the process. Go get a player. Help them. Give them the help that they need, to get whatever else. I think it's just an instinct people have that they want to win right now. And most of those win right now trades are applauded at the moment. I suspect that Minnesota fans were happy. I don't know that this is true because it was so widely panned as a trade in terms of the Cognoscenti. But don't you think Minnesota fans were probably excited about Rudy Gobert deal?
Probably. I think there was a little bit of uncertainty around that, at least among media people who I know. There.
Certainly media
that
people.
That was such a wild one.
That was a wild one. But I think the fans, tend to be. Like, you see the, I don't know. Yeah.
Right. I will say with the Grizzlies, like, the two trades I've thrown out there is the ones I think most worth pursuing. The OG Anunoby, which is a higher level one, and then Malik Beasley, which is sort of a mid to low one. Like, those would cost you long-term in the sense that you would probably have to give up a first, and an Obi, probably multiple picks, but at least a pick probably with Beasley. So you'd give it up future stuff. But those are young players under contract beyond this season, 100%. Too. And so that's sort of the why I kind of like those.
Was there much else from last night? Obviously, you don't want to give up 22 threes. You don't want to be out-rebounded the way they were. You don't want to give up 30 points on 15 turnovers. You don't want, a lot of that was, you know, you also don't have Ja and you don't have Steven Adams.
Yeah, last night was statistically, the worst performance of the season, but I think it was, in a vacuum, less troublesome than the previous two losses. That's the kind of loss where if you at least get a split in the first two, you don't feel as bad about that one. It's second night of a back-to-back on the road, without Ja Morant and Steven Adams, who are sort of the engine of your offense, against a Kings team that is good and that is second and barely second, almost first in offense, you know, in the league, playing at home. They make 10 out of 10 from three to start the game, and maybe you can, quibble about the Grizzlies' defense and closing out more and changing your scheme and all that. They could be sitting out there by themselves with no defense, or most times they're not going to shoot 10 out of 10, like in a pregame warm-up or whatever, right? And so it's crazy shooting. That game, to me, you don't like to see that it opened up the way it did for 33-point loss. But to me, ultimately, if you take each game one by one, that game is less bothersome than the previous two losses against Phoenix and the Lakers. Those are the ones that you let one get away against the Lakers, and you shouldn't have dug a big of a hole against Phoenix. And if you want to feel bad about yourself, you should feel worse about the Lakers and the Suns' losses than the Kings' loss, I think.
But in terms of what is troublesome writ large, the issues, it's wing depth. That's the most troublesome.
Yeah, I mean, some of these things are interrelated. It's your half-court offense, which is what they said from back last summer. This is what we got to be better at, and they're not better at. And then part of the reason they're not better at that is the general shooting and the lack of pop off the bench, and those things are both related to to your lack of wing depth. Yeah.
Chris, thanks very much. Appreciate it.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.